day at a time.
President Barack Obama trying to broker peace in the Middle East. There have been a few presidents before him that have tried to do the same thing. Will he be successful? And ultimately, what was the main thrust of what he talked about when he was in Cairo? We're going to start with that. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Also coming up on the show, I'm going to tell you about the sad story of a man trying to get custody of his son who was taken by his ex-wife to Brazil. She subsequently remarried, died, and he would like to have his child back and in his custody, but it's been a crazy, long, drawn-out battle. Even Hillary Clinton has gotten involved, the Secretary of State, so more on that fight coming up as well this hour, plus a little quick, cheap movie review, as there are a few new movies coming out this weekend. It's little by little, the blockbusters are starting to emerge. But first, we start with Obama's trip to the Middle East and the big thing that everybody was waiting for, of course, his speech in Cairo to the Muslim world. Primarily, that was the idea. Facebook, a lot of other social networking type of things were used, translated into many, many languages. A lot of people in internet cafes. Most people pretty much glued to what Obama had to say, from what I'm told and what's been reported in many of the overseas newspapers. So here's one of the nuggets from the speech that Obama did deliver to a lot of people under 30 years old, as primarily you're talking about a lot of younger people, and that, I think, was the audience he was trying to reach. Here's what Obama said as far as the, quotes, war on Islam.
America is not and never will be at war with Islam. We will, however, relentlessly confront violent extremists who pose a grave threat to our security. Al-Qaeda killed nearly 3,000 people on that day. The victims were innocent men, women, and children from America and many other nations who had done nothing to harm anybody. And yet Al-Qaeda chose to ruthlessly murder these people, claimed credit for the attack, and even now states their determination to kill on a massive scale. Unlike Afghanistan, Iraq was a war of choice that provoked strong differences in my country and around the world. The situation for the Palestinian people is intolerable, and America will not turn our backs on the legitimate Palestinian aspiration for dignity, opportunity, and a state of their own.
All right, and that, of course, you could hear what he was talking about there in 9/11 and what happened, and ultimately talking about a Palestinian state. And of course, that was part of the idea that there would be two states coexisting together peacefully, Israel and the Israelis and the Palestinians. And that was the main gist, I believe, of what he was trying to accomplish. Now, another thing that he talked about related to Guantanamo and things that happened in the past, here's a snippet of that.
We are taking concrete actions to change course. I have unequivocally prohibited the use of torture by the United States, and I have ordered the prison at Guantanamo Bay closed by early next year. No system of government can or should be imposed by one nation by any other. That does not lessen my commitment, however, to governments that reflect the will of the people. There's one rule that lies at the heart of every religion, that we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. This truth transcends nations and peoples. A belief that isn't new, that isn't black or white or brown, that isn't Christian or Muslim or Jew. It's a belief that pulsed in the cradle of civilization.
All right, so you can tell by just a few moments of listening to that, a couple of minutes, pretty much the gist, I believe, and as I listened to the whole thing, the gist of what the speech was about. It was received well in some circles, in others, the whole take of what was coming out of the speech is, okay, what's the action? What's going to happen? How do you broker this so-called peace when, as I constantly mention, you're talking about thousands of years of hard feelings, particularly when you talk about Palestinians and the Israelis and land, the Gaza Strip. How do you deal with Hamas? Hamas, which has terrorists in their organization. How do you negotiate with Hamas? Okay, there are a million ways to look at this, but ultimately the question becomes, what is the takeaway from this? Will there be peace in my lifetime? And I'm going to say that I don't believe there is, but I give credit to Obama for at least going over and making the speech and doing the right thing by trying to make the effort. But the olive branch extended, we've seen this before. I think that there'll be conversation. I don't think anything substantial will come as a result of the speech. And what happens now really depends on Israel, because the ball is in their court. Are they going to move and take away some of those Israeli spots along the Gaza Strip? And I think the answer is no, probably not. I don't see how the two come to any kind of an agreement, but we'll see. Billy Burton, of course, is somebody who is a White House, I call them flacks, but a White House representative, we'll say. And he had a take on Obama's deal as well, because there were so many questions surrounding, was he being an apologist or what? And here's what he had to say.
The goal, which was accomplished, was to take this historic speech as an opportunity to speak directly with the Muslim world about some of the challenges that we face, some of the obstacles to a more successful path, and paint a picture of what that more successful path could look like. The president feels good about how the speech went over. Obviously, there's not 100% agreement of how it went, but there's never going to be. But this was an important step and an important direction. The president has opened what has been a very honest and open dialogue with all the players in the region. And I think that in order for us to move forward, we're going to have to be honest about the challenges that we face. So one thing that we do know is that what we've been doing over the course of the last couple of decades is not working. And in order to get us on a path to peace, in order for us to secure that region for Americans, our interests, Israelis, Palestinians, and everyone else, we're going to have to try something differently. And so today's speech was an effort to clearly demonstrate what the issues are, and have an open and honest dialogue about them.
All right, so if that was the administration was trying to accomplish, you could say, well, they did try to have a dialogue, but what it leads to is the big, big question mark, I think, in all of this. Hey, coming up around the bend, we're going to talk to the head shrinker for America tonight and get her thoughts on the Middle East and how do you deal with those tough feelings that really start from childhood, depending on your point of view, religious and otherwise, certainly culturally too. So that's coming up next. Hang with us. Don't turn that dial. Keep it here to America Tonight.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the physician's desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Chews for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to orderchews.com.
We'll give you the latest on that mystery that still surrounds flight 447 Air France from Rio to Paris. Wait till you hear what they're saying now about the debris. It's always a pleasure to welcome this lady onto the show. I think she must have a thriving practice because she does such an excellent job when she joins us on America Tonight. We affectionately call her our special head shrinker. And you can catch a lot of her stuff, I think, all over the place. But certainly you can check out her website. Just remember to go to Power Abuse Power Healed. In fact, if you go to info at powerabusepowerhealed.com, I've had a couple of people ask me about that. You'll be able to click on and find out much more. There's so many things going on that we could ask Judith. So let's dive right into it. Hey, Judith, how are you doing?
Hi, Kate. I'm so glad to be back with you tonight.
Oh, thank you. Hey, let me just ask you this question, because I say this all the time. I've tried to school myself in various religions because now in doing a talk show, of course, there's so much happening in the Middle East, and you talk about various religions and you talk about the relationship between Israel and Iran or the lack of one and the fears and all that sort of stuff. And obviously, President Obama gives a big speech in Cairo, and he's talking to a lot of the youth, because you're talking about a lot of people 30 and under. How tough is it, though, when somebody grows up and they're taught a certain thing about a group of people to sort of change their minds and say, hey, let's all work together and we can have differences in our cultures and our beliefs, but we can really peacefully coexist. How tough is that to make it happen in a place where you're talking about thousands of years of history?
That's a really good question, Kate. I think it ties in with basically understanding what happens to us as children and as we grow up, and the early experiences we have, the early feelings we have, the early wounds we have, and what you're talking about is people teaching their children and their cultures fear of other mm-hmm. people. And it really takes a commitment and work, not just by a president, not just by our leaders, but by each one of us to want to and to do the work to heal that fear, to really to dissolve it and transform it into an openness to other people, into not being afraid of someone who isn't like you.
Yeah, so well said. As a psychotherapist, would you recommend, because this is what I'm thinking, if you're trying to have people come together from different cultures to understand where they're coming from, then I think that involves more of the melding them together. In other words, more opportunities, conferences, that kind of thing. Some sort of follow-up where people can meet other people and mingle and see, you know, talk about growing up and talk about things that they were taught. I think more of those kind of conference-y things might help. Do you?
I think conferences could help. I also think reading could help. I have a trainee who is getting a degree, and she had a course on cultures and read about different cultures that have come to the United States of people that she might end up working with. And she said she was so touched to read what people are dealing with from their specific culture coming here and their particular vulnerabilities and what they bring here that is so different, and that it just touched her deeply. So imagine if not just people training to be psychotherapists, but people who really want to help heal the conflicts between people would read something that could touch them in that way.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And you know, in talking about the Middle East and talking about Obama being there and cultures and all that entails and growing up and what you're taught growing up, and, you know, it goes to a lot of different things, doesn't it? How you feel about racism, bigotry, all those kind of things, because you learn from your parents. It's just a natural deal, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know that song from South Pacific? I don't know if I can remember the words right now, mm-hmm. but there's a song, Carefully Taught,
mm-hmm.
and how you have to be carefully taught by the time you're 6 or 7 or 8 to hate the people your relatives hate.
Right.
So it's a thing that happens very early in our lives.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And you say that all the time. It always goes back to that. To break a cycle, like if somebody comes to you and they obviously they have burdens, they have things that they're trying to work through, which bravo to them for taking the steps, and then you're working with them, what kind of tools do you think help people in overcoming, let's say, pre-programmed prejudices and whatnot?
Really to become aware that you're feeling prejudiced, to feel safe enough with, if I'm working with somebody, that they feel safe enough with me and safe enough within themselves that they can acknowledge their prejudice, to track the prejudice back from today to the earliest experiences that might have caused that prejudice, and to build the capacity to go back into and through the feelings at that point. I mean, you know, what we're really talking about is being taught or having experiences of somebody else being a threat, of being afraid of being harmed by this other person or these other people. And so much, Kate, in our world today, things are coming up for people that are frightening, and they don't realize that there are some things that are frightening in the here and now that we need to make really good choices about how to deal with them. But so much of the fear isn't from the here and now, it's from the past. And it has to be healed in the past. It has to be tracked back and healed. And really the only way to do it, really heal it to the root, not just manage it or control it, but really heal it to the root. Because I just want to add here, because managing and controlling it is not going to solve it. It's still inside you. It still will have its effects. You'll still act out on it. But if you really go back in through the feelings and heal it to the root, then all the energy that was being spent either making choices and carrying out decisions based on that early fear, or all the energy that it took to hold that fear at bay, will now be free to use in constructive, created ways and to make really wise choices.
Yeah, and talking about healing it to the root, as a psychotherapist and you work with different people, can you tell, I mean, obviously you can, but it's got to be rewarding to you when you can see that finally someone's made that breakthrough. That's got to be a terrific day for somebody who's in your office or with you and having that moment, right?
It is such a wonderful experience. And it always, even though I've been doing this for years, and even though I know it's possible and I know it's likely and I know it's coming, it still fills me with awe. I just did an intensive of an ongoing group that I've been working with for some years. And it was just so exciting because each person went through something that they have been really working diligently and committedly to build the capacity to work through.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this was great talking to you as always, Judith Barr, head shrinker to ATN. We love that nickname that we've given you. And, of course, to learn more, you can go to powerabusedpowerhealed.com. Judith, have a terrific weekend, and thanks for hanging late with us.
You're so welcome, Kate, and thank you.
You're welcome. Coming up next on America Tonight, of course, we're going to talk more about the Middle East and the trip that Obama made to the Middle East, and ultimately what was the reaction to the speech. From what I gathered in different newspapers I was able to cull through and different conversations I had, it seems as though it kind of was mixed reviews. Some thumbs up, and I'm talking about the Middle East, not even reaction in the United States. Some welcomed what he had to say, thought his words were well chosen, was pretty courageous, all that sort of stuff. Like Israeli President Shimon Peres thought that it was well written, well executed, the concept of peace, the whole idea was done well, and he realizes the challenges and all that sort of stuff, and also how important the speech was. But overall, it was kind of a mixed review. More on that coming up around the bend here on ATN.
Did you know that it's a documented fact 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? You may be one of millions of people suffering from one of dozens of debilitating chronic diseases from these parasites, and your doctor would never know it. In fact, clinically detected parasites account for only 1% of all cases. Don't continue to suffer from pain due to misdiagnosis. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metal poisoning, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is used around the world, has numerous uses, and is now available to you from Freshwater Organics. FPP strengthens skin, hair, and bones, lowers cholesterol, and is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Order some today at freshwaterorganics.com. Again, that's freshwaterorganics.com, or call 888-949-3570.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. trust pepper spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
This is Alex Jones for American Tax Settlement. We have received news that the IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements on back taxes, and millions of consumers may be eligible for this reduction to save thousands of dollars. If any of you out there owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, we have created an open phone line with American Tax Settlement. For all Alex Jones listeners to see if you qualify for a settlement with the IRS to save thousands, the number to call is 1-800-506-5904. Millions of taxpayers now may be eligible for this settlement to save thousands of dollars. Don't risk the IRS coming after you and garnishing your wages or seizing your property. American Tax Settlement specializes in negotiating with the IRS on your behalf, keeping the IRS off your back and saving consumers millions of dollars. If you owe $10,000 or more in taxes to the IRS, the number to call is 1-800-506-5904. That's 1-800-506-5904. Call today.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to upthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning.
Boy, this would be a nightmare by anybody's standards. Hey, everybody, Kate, America Tonight. And I think almost anybody would agree with this man that he should be reunited with his child. Have you heard the story about David Goldman? If you haven't, let me tell you quickly. He's fighting to get his son, who was taken to Brazil 4 years ago. What happened was he and his wife married, living in the New Jersey area. He took his wife to the airport, dropped her off. She was going to Brazil supposedly for 2 weeks with their young son, just a toddler, Sean. As it turns out, she decided to stay in Brazil, had a well-connected lawyer politically, a Brazilian lawyer, who obtained a divorce. She married a Brazilian man, was pregnant by her new husband, died last month in childbirth, and this is 4 years later, because for 4 years he's been fighting for his kid while she was married to this other man and had gotten the divorce and all that sort of stuff. He went to court in New Jersey where Sean was born, got a court order calling for a custody hearing and then granting custody of Sean to Goldman pending the hearing and all this other sort of stuff. And so according to the laws of Brazil and the United States and even international law, which is pretty clearly spelled out in the Hague treaties, for which Brazil is a signatory, Sean should have been returned home for the hearing, but wasn't. So there have been all these crazy things that have happened as he's tried to get the custody of his child. Then, ironically, his wife dies in childbirth with her new husband, you know, from the baby of her new husband. And so now you would think, okay, I'm the blood relative, and he didn't even know about his ex-wife's death. And once he found that out, of course, he's been trying to, he's been traveling to Brazil, going to the court hearings, trying, and keeps finding that the Brazilian husband filed a petition with the local family courts to remove his name from Sean's birth certificate and all kinds of things. The U.S. Embassy in Brazil has written letters asking the Brazilian authorities to recognize his paternal rights. Now even Hillary Clinton is getting involved in this. It's just a nasty, ugly, ugly thing. In fact, he's been on a couple of talk shows. He's on Larry King. He's been on the Today Show. Here's a little snippet of that.
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, I wouldn't know if I consider him a stepfather, as the judge in the federal court said that my son was now in the hands of a second abduction. And we were still legally married in America when she absconded with my son and fled here. And the marriage here is not recognized in America. The other part is, I'm not exactly sure what the Supreme Court will rule, because this public political party petitioned them saying that the Hague in general is unconstitutional to Brazilian law, and also cited some aspects of my case. So I'm not certain if the Supreme Court is just going to say the Hague is unconstitutional and never send any children back, or if he's, or if they're going to say on this 11-judge panel in the Supreme Court that the Hague is constitutional and let my case proceed within the court system. I'm not sure on how they are going to rule, and I just found this out last night as well.
Wow, just crazy, crazy things. Like I said, it would take forever. It would take this entire show to go through family law. We, in fact, have had family lawyers on this show like Kevin Fuller and talked about divorce situations and whatnot. And this is a case where the wife fled, took the kid, and he was fighting her and fighting the whole idea of getting custody and wasn't getting anywhere with that. And now that she has died, and now you've got this level of law in both countries, wouldn't it just seem as though Sean would be returned to his father? And how can somebody who's not related to this child erase his name from the son's birth certificates, the birth records? Just seems crazy to me. It has to be just a horrible, horrible experience that this man is going through. And we'll keep you up to date on his situation. But knowing family law and knowing these custody battles, see, people automatically always think, and certainly many times it is, think of the woman being shafted and the disappearance. And, you know, sometimes you hear these Amber Alerts, and a lot of times it's a divorce situation where someone has snagged a child. In fact, we had somebody on America Tonight, Charlotte Connor, talking about a situation where she had a client, a female client. It was the reverse. She was in France. The husband took the kids to the United States, and he disappeared with them. And then suddenly, like almost a year later, they pop up through a bizarre set of circumstances as he was trying to pretty much erase her from their lives and told the kids not to talk about her. And they were just a little older. He was a toddler when this happened. And wow, I just can't understand how somebody does that to somebody else. Let's hope that there's a happy ending in this case for this man who'd like to get his son back, particularly since the blood mother has ultimately died. Sticking with courts here for a second, I want to update you on something else, too, that we talked about a lot on America Tonight this week. The Tennessee man who allegedly pulled up to that recruitment center in Little Rock, Arkansas, and shot and killed a 23-year-old who had just gone through basic training and wounded another. And the take was that he changed his name. He decided to live by Islamic law and changed his name to Abdulhakim Muhammad and had political and religious reasons for shooting the two guys that he shot, the military men. Very, very sad story, because it doesn't help the families of Private William Long from Arkansas, who's just 23, and the other private who was 18 and was wounded, luckily did not die, but just pulls up, pulls out a gun and pop, 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 and then takes off. And, of course, the cops get him, and he is obviously going through the process. And the more is emerging, more details emerging about this homegrown terrorist, if you will. He left college, Tennessee State in Nashville. He was studying business, traveled to Yemen, then decided to teach English to children and learn Arabic. Then he said he felt at peace with those people, even married a woman there, but then things started to change, I guess, when he was detained for a visa violation there and sent to prison. And guess what? He was housed with radical Islamic fundamentalists. Now, if you remember, FBI Director Robert Mueller, in talking about Gitmo and the detainees coming to the United States to be in a prison, he didn't like the idea that they could radicalize prisoners. And this is exactly an example of what happened, just like the three men in New Jersey who tried to pull off a plot where they were going to blow up a synagogue, and they were also going to try to shoot down a military plane, but thank goodness an informant infiltrated their ranks. And within a year, they had bogus equipment that didn't work because it was planted, obviously, by the FBI, and then their plot was uncovered. But in the case of this guy, it's a similar thing. He's in prison, he's disillusioned, and the next thing you know, he comes out and he wants to do damage to some people. So he's ultimately, late last November, he's arrested in the port city of Aden for overstaying his visa. He's deported 2 months later, cooperating, of course, with the U.S. Embassy. And next thing you know, here's what we have happen in May. So he has pled not guilty in the recruiting center shootings. But obviously, you look at the background, you look what's happened, and he says during the last 2 weeks he was deprived of sleep and food and was slapped around a bit and all this other sort of stuff. So the lawyer's trying to say that all this happened when he was in prison. And I'll be curious as to where this case takes us. But as I mentioned before, it doesn't do much for the families of the two men who were shot for no reason other than being in the wrong place, the wrong time when he pulled up. And there has been a lot of people finally now starting to talk about this. President Obama said in a written statement, because we haven't heard anything otherwise, that he was saddened by the shootings. And that infuriated a lot of callers to this show, because why wasn't much said about this? But yet in the shooting of the abortion doctor, a lot was talked about there. And I agree. How come this was pretty much shoved to the side? Now, the feds said that they're looking into whether internet searches of a couple of locations in other cities were a sign that he was looking for some other targets. The cities included Atlanta, Louisville, Kentucky, New York, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Memphis, Tennessee, where Muhammad, of course, had grown up. But the computer that they confiscated, I guess, was used by a few other people as well. Now, before the shooting, he was working at a Hilton hotel in a family business, and he was driving a sightseeing van. So who would think that? The guy's driving a sightseeing van. He seems harmless. He wanted to be a martyr. So he wants to be a martyr, and that's what the deal was. That was the idea. And it does not, again, it does not bring back that 23-year-old who had just gone through basic, had joined the military, and now is dead, not from serving on in Iraq or Afghanistan or anywhere else, but because somebody who was radicalized with the Islamic fundamentalist principles in a prison system decides that he has a motive to be a martyr and does that. Just awful. Might be the worst thing I think that happened. A lot of crazy things happened this week, probably throughout the whole week, though. Coming up on the flip side, birthdays, news you can abuse, and other things as well.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Finally in the news this evening, it's being reported that cyber spies from Russia and China have now penetrated our power grid. Even as energy experts are reporting that each summer we get closer and closer to the limits of our nation's power grid, some say that this summer's demand for electrical power may finally push the grid over its edge, creating a cascade of power outages across the country, putting us all in the dark.
Are you prepared for the next round of storm-related outages or government-created blackouts? Have you ever thought about taking steps to get off the grid and generate your own private supply of electrical power? If so, this will be the most important information you have ever heard. Solar-powered generators are finally available. They have no moving parts to wear out or break and require absolutely no gas whatsoever. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Check out mysolarbackup.com before you lose your power.
In 1965, this was the sound. Turn this one down. One more time. One more time. One more time. Where is the sea? And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
A couple of interesting movies opening up this weekend. Maybe you want to take a load off and just let your brain chill for a few hours. And maybe one of these flicks is up your alley. A couple of them that are probably going to be pretty big. I think this will be big because you have kids getting out of school, and this could be a kid movie. There's some serious sarcasm in it, so an adult could appreciate it, I think, as well. And the movie is called Land of the Lost. Will Ferrell, the main star in it. And here's a little snippet of it.
It's okay. You can't cross. He has terrible depth perception. He thinks this chasm's a million miles long. He's not what you'd call an athlete, Mr. T-Rex. See? Walking away in utter helpless defeat. After all, his brain is the size of a walnut. Sure, his sense of smell may be acute, but eyesight, hearing, all of his higher functions, completely compromised by that walnut-sized brain pan. I mean, forget about the Polish. It's the T-Rexes who are the real dummies of the world. In fact, Chaka, funny story.
All right, so easy to understand, right? Danny McBride's in it, Will Ferrell's in it, and a slew of other people. It's billed as a comedy, action, adventure, science fiction, fantasy adaptation. PG-13, 13. So that means family, right? And I'm not going to give away the whole thing, but the gist is it's a expedition, a routine expedition. And the man and his friends pretty much get sucked through a space-time vortex into an alternate universe. Boy, that would be scary, wouldn't it? Especially one that includes dinosaurs if you're ill-equipped for that sort of thing, which most of us would be. But it looks kind of clever. I think it might be a decent movie. Now, here's a guy flick. Could be a flick that you take a woman to, I'm sure. But definitely a guy flick. And it's called The Hangover. And it's basically the gist of this is, you get it, 2 days before the wedding, do the old drive to Vegas, blowout bachelor party that they won't forget. Here's some of that.
I looked everywhere. Gym, casino, front desk, nobody's seen Doug. He's not here.
Okay, all right, let's just track this thing. All right, what's the last thing we remember doing last night?
Well, the first thing was we were on the roof and we were having those shots of Jaeger.
And then we had dinner at the Palm, right?
That's right. And then we played craps into Hard Rock, and I think Doug was there.
That sounds right. No. He definitely was.
What is this?
Oh, my God. That is my tooth. Why do you have that? What else is in your pocket?
Oh, this is a good thing. No, check your pockets. You have anything?
I have an ATM receipt from the Bellagio. $11.05 for $800.
What's on your arm? Phil, you were in the hospital last night.
I guess so, yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, Alan, I'm fine.
What the hell is going on?
Well, so you can see the path that was taking. Obviously, a lot of booze and a lot of forgetting, which can happen at bachelor parties. And then you mix in the whole Vegas theme. Definitely guy flick. That's what I would term it as. And you move from The Hangover to this movie called My Life in Ruins. And My Life in Ruins is a little bit different. A Greek tour guide attempting to recapture her mojo, basically, by guiding a group of tourists around Greece and showing them the beauty of her native land. Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks are the producers of this movie. Rita Wilson from a Greek family. Nina Vardalos is the star of this movie, and she's Greek. Remember my big fat Greek wedding? She's the same woman in that. Here's a little slice of that.
Why am I spending my life showing tourists gorgeous ancient ruins they care nothing about? And Pangloss Tours pays lousy. They book the worst hotel rooms. I don't have any friends here. I actually don't know anybody, really. I haven't had sex in forever.
Forever is a long time.
Yeah. You speak English?
Yes.
I do too, 42 euros.
That's great. Anybody else? Excellent. Excuse me. Nice to meet you. Excuse me.
All right, so you get the gist of that. Pretty funny stuff. Quickly, a couple of stories that I would call news you can abuse. Good news, anyway. Here's one of them. Hats off to retired Air Force Master Sergeant Mark Evans. I want to make sure I got his name right. And why? Because he has organized this deal of giving beer and pizza to the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan for Independence Day for July 4th. 28,000 deep dish pizzas packed in dry ice are going to be sent to those war zone areas. Last year, he arranged for a long distance delivery of 2,000. And now he's got it up to 28,000. What he does is he gets money from companies and private folks, private citizens, and then he has the money and purchases the pizzas. So he hopes every soldier at 9 bases in Iraq and Afghanistan will get a bunch of slices from Uno Chicago Grill. DHL Express is handling the shipping, and Miller Coors. Is donating 10,000 cases of beer to wash down the pepperoni and extra cheese. Bravo. That is the daily salute going out to retired Air Force Master Sergeant Mark Evans. Good for him. And this is a good one, too. It's a feel-good story. Clarence Marshall now has his high school diploma. He's 87 years old. The World War II vet was honored with about 300 other graduating seniors at Wisconsin's Wausau East High. Marshall dropped out before being drafted during the war and fought in Europe, so you know how this story goes. Every year he would visit the area schools, talk about surviving the Battle of the Bulge and all the other war experiences. And he says he was stunned and speechless when he learned he'd finally be getting his high school diploma. Bravo. That's another feel-good story. All right, today in history, it's always fun to take that walk back. Here are a couple of things that happened if we do that. In 1917, on this day in history, about 10 million American men began registering for the draft in World War I. 1933, the United States went off the gold standard, if you remember. In 1947, Secretary of State George C. Marshall gave a speech at Harvard University in which he outlined an aid program for Europe that became pretty famous, became known as the Marshall Plan. Also on this day in history, if we went really way back, I skipped over this, in 1884, Civil War hero General William T. Sherman refused the Republican presidential nomination. Here's what he said: I will not accept if nominated and will not serve if elected. Let's head to birthdays. Oh, we have a couple of birthdays worth mentioning. But don't we always? You may recognize some of these names. I know you'll recognize this name. Jill Biden, the wife of VP Joe Biden, is 58 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, actor Jeff Garlin is 47. Curb Your Enthusiasm, you might remember him. He's a comedian on that, and he's friends with Larry David. He was just in a documentary I saw about the Chicago Cubs. Actress Karen Cillis is 46 years old. Actor Mark Wahlberg, you'll know him. He's been in a ton of flicks, including A Shooter, 38 years old. Actor Chad Allen is 35. Jacksonville Jags wideout Torrey Holt is 33 years old. Rock musician Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy is 30. Remember, he's married to Ashley Simpson, and they just had a child a while ago together. Rock musician Fred Stone from Sly and the Family Stone on the opposite end of the scale is 63. You might catch Bill Moyers, good journalist, 75 years old, famous broadcast journalist. Billy Hayes, an actor, singer, is 84 years old today. Let's give you another one. See if you know this name at all. I love this nickname, by the way. Rock musician Peanut, get it? Peanut, is 35 years old. And finally, from the Psychedelic Furs, rock singer Richard Butler is 53 years old. Going to leave you with this. Ronald Reagan said it. Whatever else history may say about me when I'm gone, I hope it will record that I appeal to your best hopes, not to your worst fears, to your confidence rather than your doubts.